This is the March 25, 2026 Chelan County Planning Commission meeting. And I see that we have enough commissioners to have quorum, so let's proceed to the agenda, which the first item is last month's meeting minutes, which is February 25.
Mark.
Any discussion items?
No, I move to accept the minutes as written.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, that was Jesse.
That was me.
Oh, sorry, that was Ken. All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Let's move on. Let's ask if there are any members of the public who wish to speak on items that are not on the agenda already.
No, I'm just here to represent the four-wheel drive or off-road motorized community and answer questions and maybe have a little input.
Excellent. We will get to you then.
Thank you.
Okay, well then let's move on. We're going to discuss CPA 24-145, which is the PROS plan update, and I would like to ask staff to present.
I'm going to, Dina Walter, Community Development. I'm going to introduce Mike Caputa, the Director of Natural Resources Program, and Aaron McKay with Natural Resources. And they're going to present the Parks and Rec, a portion of the Parks and Rec plan for you tonight. The goal being that you're going to see parts of the comprehensive plan update incrementally so that it's not so much to take in all at once. And it also gives you an opportunity to ask questions, get clarification so that we can come back later with that prior to the hearing. Mike.
Great, thank you. Yeah, so thank you guys for your time tonight. Happy to be here to present the PROS plan, the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space plan, commonly known as the PROS plan. Aaron McKay and others have done a lot of work on this plan. I just wanted to give a little overview for you because you may have a sense of deja vu because Aaron was here 2 years ago with Planning Commission. So if you're new on the Planning Commission since then, you may not have seen this presentation or seen this plan. But we had been working pretty diligently in 2024 to update I call it the Parks and Rec plan, to meet some deadlines. And the county got some feedback from the Department of Commerce on how many comp plan or comp plan amendments we were having in 1 year. And so we ended up having to delay the adoption of the Parks and Rec plan to 2026 to align with the comprehensive plan update, which is an expected and allowable thing. A couple things on the plan. So we do this every six-ish years. The county and the unincorporated areas, in order to be eligible for grants with the Washington Recreation and Conservation Office, has to have a current Parks and Rec plan. So folks like our Natural Resources Department, other departments in the county, Manson Parks and Rec, they have to be able to link any grant applications back to an eligible plan. So we're currently in good standing with RCO, and with the adoption of a new plan, we will continue to be in good standing. And so we'll be able to continue to apply for grants and advance Parks and Rec type projects. One thing that is a little different this time around is that we have, I mean, there have been some minor updates to the plan, but we have a very significant and sizable motorized recreation element in the plan. We have motorized trails component to this. We're one of the first counties to investigate that topic and come up with a chapter in a Parks and Rec plan. Most of the Parks and Rec plans around the state are non-motorized only. We have a lot of motorized activity here in Chelan County, and so we thought it'd be worthwhile to do that. We also have a lot of Forest Service ownership in Chelan County. And a lot of the discussion, if you're in the motorized community or you recreate that way, working with forest on travel management, et cetera, can be a big deal. And it can be helpful to have recommendations and ideas in a local parks and rec plan to prepare for those conversations in the future. There's no effort right now on the part of the Forest Service to engage in travel management, but there may be at some point. And so we've done, and Aaron can talk about some of the work that we did with the motorized community to identify some of their opportunities that are in the plan. So with that, I always say this when I come here, I want to thank all of you for spending your time on the Chelan County Planning Commission. It's still a six-year commitment to be on the Planning Commission. And I just really appreciate the time that you guys spend to do it. It's a really important job. It's hard. It's a lot of work. I know you have to digest a lot of information. And I just really appreciate that you guys are willing to spend your time doing that. So thank you all for that. And with that, Aaron will just walk us through the presentation, and we'll both be here to answer questions and fill in any gaps. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right.
Okay, so yeah, as Mike mentioned, we did a significant effort in 2024 to update the Parks and Rec element. That was the timing of when we needed to update it to be eligible for the RCO grant applications. But again, we weren't able to get through to adoption at that point. So we were still granted a period, basically a grace period from RCO, knowing that we would integrate it into the comprehensive plan update. So it's been just kind of parked for a while. And so 2 years ago, we had two sessions with the Planning Commission. The first session, myself and one of the consultants that we worked with on the plan update went through the plan in detail with the commission and then got feedback and input and integrated that and then brought it back again for kind of a final review. So I'm not going to go through in as much detail as we did at that point because it was already, you know, the Planning Commission was able to provide feedback at that point. But I will just kind of go over the basic outline of the plan and just remind folks what's in there and what our process was to do the plan update. So with every update, Mike mentioned it's typically a 6 or 7 year process, update process. With each update, we take in the state, kind of the updated state trends for recreation need and demand. And then we also do an assessment of the recreational opportunities and facilities that we have here in Chelan County. So that was updated. And then we go through and update the goals and objectives. And that is done through a public outreach element to get a feel from the people of what the trends and what people are seeing as opposed to what was included in the previous plan. And then we we update the capital improvement list, which is basically a list of prioritized projects that comes from the community input. We go through with these updates, and then it also pulls from existing plans that are already in place or have been put into place since the last plan update. So things like Public Works did a recreation inventory assessment of high use recreation areas that overlap with Public Works right away, basically trailheads that maybe unofficial trailheads that are getting a lot of use or river access points. So they did a whole assessment and report. And so those efforts are all integrated into these plans as well, listed out, and then some of the priorities from those planning efforts are integrated into the capital improvement list. I'll go ahead and switch slides. So our public involvement effort, there was a public survey that had over 1,300 responses that was open for a few months during our planning update process. We held two public workshops, one in Chelan and one in Wenatchee, and we did a lot of outreach to get folks to come out and provide feedback in person. You can see there were maps and sticky notes and all of the ways that we try to grab, you know, ideas from people and then integrate them into the plan. And then we had our planning commission workshop in March and the hearing in April of 2024.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So how do you solicit the input and get people to engage in the survey?
The survey was pushed out through social media and a lot of the known recreation groups, Wenatchee Outdoors, for example, mm-hmm. any avenue that could reach a lot of people who care about recreation.
Well, I was going to say, too, we also had for the motorized component, we had an advisory committee. We had surveys that went out to user groups largely. We also had a big workshop at the Confluence Technology Center. And so we got a lot of feedback on that, too. I don't think those numbers are included in the original 1300.
Well, the reason why I ask is I've been a resident of Chelan County for 60 years and I'm never aware of these surveys until somebody sends me something. I hear about a second, third, fourth, mm-hmm. and
yes,
and usually in the 11th mm-hmm. hour, you know, when it's going to close the next day. And I noticed that, you know, there was a question in the survey, you know, that said something like, well, you know, this isn't free, so what methods would you be in favor of funding? And 50% of the people said taxation. But I'm a taxpayer on four different parcels in Chelan County, and I don't even know this is going on. And just to be honest with you, that frustrates me.
Yeah, it's frustrating for us too, right? Because we, you know, there's what, 85,000 people in the county, right? And we have a lot more, you know, a lot of people come visit. And we felt like we put in a significant amount of time and effort, you know, through surveys, direct outreach, but we don't get to everybody, right? And I'd say probably out of those 85,000 citizens, maybe 1,000 we got in touch with, maybe, right?
But, I'm sorry, but I mean, if you're just targeting the people who are in the recreational groups and you're not a member of that, then yeah. The vast majority of the public seems to me that they're not really getting an opportunity to participate because yeah. They don't know about it.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think that's a...
So how can that be done better in the future, or can it?
Yeah, well, we definitely try. I mean, we have some limitations, right? Folks are not always interested in what the county is doing, right? Because they have other things going on. I mean, you're fortunate that you're on the planning commission. You're going to get a front row seat on this.
Yeah, this is my third meeting, so yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how long you've been.
I'm going to probably ask more questions than the other people will.
Yeah, yeah. But we are always open to more ideas too on how to do it, right? I mean, there's, you know, public agencies struggle with this all the time. Mm-hmm.
We did have a link to the survey on the Chelan County website, and I think one, I can't remember if we did this, but ideally we have our public information officer bringing attention to the fact that that survey is open. I don't know if you get the weekly updates from Jill Fitzsimmons or not, but that's a good way to stay informed of things that are going on in the county. She pulls, you know, pulls things that people should be aware of and just writes blurbs about.
Okay. She sends an email out every Monday morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I was remarking, I had this conversation this morning about how many people are aware of the guy who climbed up George Steller Bridge, right, and tied his bicycle to the flag, right?
I heard about that one.
I would love to get that kind of engagement and awareness from the public, but yeah. I'm not willing to go tie the Parks and Rec plan to the flag on George Steller Bridge.
Yeah. Or tie your bike to the bridge.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Or tie it to the flag.
It's a great point.
Don't kid us, Mike. That was clearly a recreational stunt by the county.
There you go.
I think that funding question too is one that just, if we wanted to hear from people, if you want all these things, how do you think they should be funded? And that isn't going to lead to a decision on the part of the county. It's just kind of trying to get a sense from folks, if you want these things, what are your information funding.
And I would say on that point, I'm glad you raised that point about how would you pay for it, right? Because there are surveys in the past that have gone out from groups who are semi-professional, asking people, what are your values? What do you like? And how would you consider paying for it? One of the challenges with those surveys is that you may have to choose an option in there, and it may not be what you'd like to respond to. So my point there is, even with surveys like that, you kind of have to consider the structure of the question, how the answers are set up. Because when it comes down to it, I mean, people would have to vote probably on any new taxes, you know, and I think that's a very different feeling than just saying, yeah, just increase taxes so we can pay for this.
It's just that when you come into the process at the 11th hour, you kind of feel like you're,
yeah,
you know, you've missed out on a lot of opportunities, mm-hmm. and that's all. But I'll let you continue on.
And I think we do rely on that second, third hand, people passing this along to other people, you know, because there isn't a great way to reach every single person. So you just, the hope is that you put it out there enough that it then is, you know, passed along. There is a list of survey distribution in the plan in the public engagement overview section. So it does describe how that survey was put out.
I got a text from Commissioner Smith. He was trying to come in.
Yes, please. Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. Then I'm just behind on my texting. So. Okay.
So the capital improvement program is what a lot of folks are very interested in these plans, because it actually contains a specific list of projects, and that is what's helpful for getting grant funding to implement these projects. So the capital improvement program is broken down into a couple different categories to describe projects. There's the cost category. Is this a, you know, low, medium, high expense project? And then how ready is the project to be implemented? And that's also helpful when you're prioritizing funding. So go ahead and advance. So I know this isn't going to be something that people can read, but we just kind of wanted to show what this capital improvement program, basically the capital improvement project list, looks like. And so we have it broken down into increased open space access points and trailheads. And that has things like, for example, develop formal trailhead and sanctioned trail system for Sour Mountain. So that's a really popular trail, especially during wildflower season, with no real established parking or access. So it creates issues with private landowners, and it's kind of an ongoing problem. So that's something that's identified as a high priority project. And then also lists out what potential funding sources could be used. A lot of these are grant or, you know, a variety of different sources. And so there's the other categories are increased access to river recreation. That's a big one in this county. multimodal pathways connecting communities. Increased access to Lake Chelan. Improved communications and knowledge. So that's like signage, information, availability of information about recreation, opportunities and conditions. Safety improvements, economic development. So that's things specific to increasing the economic impact of recreation in this area. Improved ORV and ATV access and dedicated trails. So that specifies the motorized access. And then organizational recommendations. And that's kind of a goal of looking at overall coordination between state and local governments to address recreation that may occur across jurisdictional boundaries or in these gray areas that are like in the right of way, but there's no established, like that Sour Mountain Trail is a good example of that. Or another example would be like river recreation and access in Leavenworth, where people are parking on all along the road to get on and float the river. And, you know, that needs to be a combined effort between multiple different agencies and groups. So I did want to point out that the motorized access is a relatively small piece of this table, and that gets back to the point about how these plans typically are more focused on non-motorized recreation, and that gets us to our next point, which is, keep going a couple more. I think I put all those tables. So this gets us to kind of our big update to this plan since the last time we were here. And so as Mike mentioned, we were actually directed by the Board of County Commissioners to do this motorized recreation plan with the recognition that that is an overlooked part of this type of planning effort. So we were already starting that by the time we had finished this update, but since this update hadn't been adopted yet, and then in the meantime, we did finish the motorized recreation plan, this gave us an opportunity to integrate them. And so the way that is done is that the motorized recreation plan is attached as an attachment to this document, and it contains a lot more detailed information on what the needs and desires and opportunities and or lack of opportunities and things that were developed during that planning process. It enables this plan to include that level of detail. And then those tie directly back to the things that are in the capital improvement list already in the plan, such as improved ORV, ATV access, and dedicated trails. So that's a very broad, you know, project. So this motorized plan provides the detail to get at that improved ORV ATV access. So it ties right in to what was done here. It just provides the next level of detail that would be needed to actually identify which areas would be included in a project like that. So, so we went through a pretty similar process with the motorized trails plan effort. We had an online survey that had over 500 respondents, and then we held a public workshop at the Confluence Technology Center, and with 80 plus attendees. And similarly, there were maps, there were whiteboards, and we gathered a lot of feedback and a lot of information from the motorized community, and we're able to distill that into the needs, desires, and opportunities that are contained in the motorized recreation chapter. It also identified some recommendations or actions. So the first action is to review and adopt the motorized trails plan. So that's what we're doing here through this process. Designate additional ATV, side-by-side, 4x4 trails, maintain existing motorized trails, maintain and improve trailheads and campgrounds, signage, restrooms, things like that, promote motorized trails events, and measure motorized trails' economic impact. So that was a big one to highlight, and that motorized recreation is a big economic draw, or has a big economic impact in this area. So there has been, well, I don't have any actual tangible thing to show or talk about it, but there has been some recent data that have captured the economic impact of motorized recreation, and it's helpful to just be able to reference that. So
yeah, this part of the plan is of the overall plan, the motorized section is in the non-motorized part is well done. This one is very well done as well, and I'd encourage you to take a look at the maps in there, all the reference material, the survey results. There's a lot of good stuff in here, and it's certainly stuff that we'll be able to build on, you know, to develop more opportunities to engage with the Forest Service on travel management. There's a lot of good stuff in here to work from.
I have counters that I can plant in the ground, and they will record the traffic of the vehicles, and I can plant them in the winter and I can plant them in the summer.
Great.
So all you have to do is contact me, and then I can pull that raw data, and that can show what kind of traffic you're getting and where you may want me to use them.
Super helpful. Yeah, thank you for that. Good. Yeah, thanks for that.
I'm sorry, could you tell me who that was that was speaking? I have a very small picture of the Planning Commission tonight. Who was that?
That was Skip Brands, Director, Region 4, Pacific Northwest Four-Wheel Drive Association.
Perfect, Skip. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Hey, Sean, you got to raise your hand next time.
No, I don't. I'm the commissioner. You guys keep up with me.
We can't see. Stop, he raises his hand. Oh, it's on the...
Go ahead, Jesse.
I just wanted to make a comment on the county actually getting their motorized trail plan together here and give Mike some credit for this. The Forest Service has been after, well, I know the community has been after the Forest Service for at least 20 years that I'm aware of to get their motorized travel plan in place, and they still have failed to do so miserably. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Mike's got together here. And I know he and I have chatted about this in the past over, gosh, probably over the last 10 years or better. So I'm glad to see some headway being made on this. And I think the motorized component of the county recreation is there's a great, there's a great more we can do with that to benefit the county and the people coming to the county. So just wanted to give that a little bit of kudos to you guys for getting this part moving.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I was going to say, we we agree. Also, you know, the seed was planted for this several years ago when, at the time, the forest supervisor, Kristen Bale, came and talked to the county commission. And she was actually going around county by county in the Okanagan Wenatchee National Forest, asking county commissions if they were interested in starting travel management, to Jesse's point, on a county by county basis. You know, we raised our hands really high and said, our commissioners did, and said, yes, please, we'd like to do that here. It didn't go anywhere then, but we realized that if and when they come around again, we wanted to be ready for that. So I think this plan, to Jesse's point, this plan is going to be very helpful when that conversation comes around.
Doug, you had a question?
Thank you. Rita, I have a couple questions. One, a few years back, the Forest Service made a policy change to where they considered all roads were closed unless they were signed as being open. And the old criteria was that all trails and roads were open unless they were signed as closed. Is that policy still in effect? And if it is this some place to push back against that?
Yeah, my understanding, Commissioner England, is that those policies are still in effect. And I think where the plan can help is we go engage with the Forest Service where we see opportunities that are identified in the plan and say, look, we want you to reconsider X, Y, or Z. So I think there's a way to do it in a very sort of structured, sophisticated way now that we have more information about that. So long way of saying yes, I think there's an opportunity there.
The other question was the loop, the Great Creek Road above Lake Chelan. We did have an agreement with the Forest Service, although it was not what we wanted. That road had been maintained by the Reclamation Department and had been used for well over 100 years. And they had tentatively agreed to let us a loop about half of that trail. And even though we protested that that road had been open for so long, no indications of misuse, no indication of unauthorized travel off of the road. And you can use it for Jeeps, you can use it for motorized bikes, but you can't use it for side bys, for instance, UTVs. And or I guess on this list it says side by sides. Is that still, and then about the time it was ready to be, even though we didn't get what we wanted at that time, even though it was ready to go, some group threatened to go to court, not because it was in a wilderness area, but because it was too close to a wilderness area. And the Forest Service withdrew the plan completely. And so technically, side bys are not even allowed above Antelope Lake there. Is that still the case? And the same question, is this someplace to push back on that?
Yeah, possibly. I'd say when we were developing the motorized recreation plan, Paul Willard was the district ranger at the Chelan Ranger District, and he was personally an active motorized recreationalist. They have a new district ranger, Holly Craik, who I know a little bit. And I think what we could say, Commissioner Inglis, we'll reach out to them on this Great Creek Loop discussion. And just see where that conversation is right now.
Unfortunately, Doug, I think that's kind of consistent around the Forest Service lands, is they've just chosen to ignore making a decision on it, or saying that they're not allowed, without giving any reason why. I think that's just consistent throughout all the counties, not just ours here.
Yeah, that is a message that we have received as well. But that doesn't mean that we can't start the conversation with them.
Sure.
So we're happy to do that. Commissioner England, do you remember the name of the plan? I mean, I had down Great Creek Loop. You mentioned a plan. I don't know if you meant a formal plan that they had been developing and then maybe they pulled back from.
They,
Was there
the
something?
plan, the plan they had was an 80-mile loop that went through the area of Os Peak. And it goes up above the ski hill on Cooper Mountain, a road up there, and then made the loop down through where the warming hut is for the snowmobiles, but not the whole loop up to Summer Blossom and Windy Camp. And again, you can go there on a motorized a bike, on a four-wheel drive Jeep. You just can't go there in a side-by-side.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look into that. Thank you.
That's all I have. The next steps, that's kind of left over from the last presentation. I'm not actually sure what stage we're at with this.
Yeah, my understanding is tonight was kind of an introductory workshop on the PROS plan, and we wanted to provide you an overview and an orientation to it. Certainly encourage you to dig in there and take a look at the map. Some of the maps are really cool, and they're just really well done. They're full of information, and we love the plan. I don't know how I hadn't coordinated with Dina ahead of time if staff make recommendations or not. I guess because we're kind of we're not in community development. We would love for you. We highly recommend that you suggest to the county commissioners that they adopt this plan. It's not to say that there's not information that could be added or things could be edited. Certainly, I'm sure there are a lot of things in there, but we're just really pleased with the quality and the breadth of the plan. And so we're very enthusiastic, I'll just say, about the plan.
And we can
Not to
put that.
completely, not to completely contradict that, Mike, but I see from the last time we still just have one picture of the pretty part of Chelan County in Lake Chelan, and you may want to adjust that.
Well, we'll make sure we get Manson in there. There's some pretty pictures of Manson for sure.
We can also provide larger format versions of these maps. If you, like Mike said, there is a ton of information in these maps that you can't necessarily see without a magnifying glass in this version. If you're looking at it online, you can probably zoom in, but I think they had to be condensed so much to fit on this little piece of paper, but we do have access to the larger format.
Can you send me the link?
Yeah, we sure can. Yeah, they're meant to be read digitally. That's the only really way you'd be able to get into that. Maybe that's what you're doing there, Tammy, but that's really the way to do it.
Right now, the only link to this plan, since it's not adopted yet, is in the Planning Commission files, Planning Commission meeting documents folder on the Chelan County website.
Yeah, okay. So it's available on that, and we can get that out.
So I have a question about the tiers. So tier one, obviously, is already active, right? Tier two is on deck. So, and then tier three is beyond 2030 and beyond. So when this was done in 2024, were there funding sources that you were hoping to tap into that maybe are not so readily available today or may not be available in the future? Do you know?
I would say, I mean, the primary funding source that we look to is with the State Recreation and Conservation Office. And that's been a consistent source of funding mm-hmm. in Washington State for 30, 40 years. Some of the federal funding sources, from what we have seen, are still on the books. But, you know, there's some new, with every administration, you know, there's new priorities, kind of sometimes looking at new criteria for it. There's still funding out there to do this. I mean, to me, I think that the aside from sort of individual projects that would look for Parks and Rec funding, there is this bigger policy discussion about particularly on travel management that I think needs to take place in order to advance some of the work, right? It's about authorities and what's allowed and what's not allowed. And that alone, you know, can provide a lot more opportunities more than, say, a parking lot, right? Sometimes if we were able to advance some of those ideas, maybe a parking lot would be helpful, but we really have to overcome some of the policy constraints, particularly on the motorized piece.
Okay. And so even with the state funding, if the state has their funding cut by the federal government, would that impact those state dollars potentially?
Potentially, but we have not seen those kinds of cuts in this field. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then another question about funding. So I'm going to pick one of the shuttle service to take hikers out to high-use areas, which sounds like that would be a good idea. So that seems like that would be help the tourism industry, right? So I know that the state has limited uses for lodging tax incomes. Would that be something where the lodging tax incomes that could be applied to something like that?
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially.
That's right.
And then also, you know, it says it's between $250,000 and $750,000. Mm. But unlike, say, a parking lot, there would be that shuttle service would be ongoing. So is that $250,000 to $750,000 to get it going, or is that over a period of time? Because, you know, if you're running a shuttle service, then there's ongoing annual cost.
Yeah, we were trying to get you've identified one of the weaknesses in the cost estimates, that there were certain assumptions made, either a certain amount of time or a certain scale of activity. I would use the numbers as sort of relative to each other. But anything specific like that, you know, we'd have to get into the details. Like, what exactly are we talking about? Who would be paying for it? For how long, et cetera, right? To really come up with a cost estimate. It's a great question.
Right. You need to have a place for the people to park to have the shuttle service.
Well, would they pick them up like at their hotel and take them to the trail? And
possibly.
Back?
Yeah. That would possibly.
Be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the park and ride, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, right. There's the, like, if we're talking about Leavenworth, there's big park and ride behind the Safeway that can be used. There is an example currently of a shuttle service that's been used for the river recreation because parking mm-hmm. is so limited and so many people are floating the river in Leavenworth. And that was funded by the city with city lodging tax, basically, funds, or, you know, all of those funds go into kind of the city's general fund, but they paid for that based on it being a tourism, you know.
Okay, so the Whitewater Park Because I was aware of that one. I know there was a plan to have it at the Dryden Dam. I think the PUD pushed back pretty hard on that. And then they wanted to go to Barn Beach and Leavenworth. And then there, I know there was a public meeting up there. And that got a lot of pushback. What's the status of that now?
Yeah, I mean, the Whitewater Park, we think, still has merit to discuss. I think the, I mean, some of its timing, too. We, looking at the Barn Beach proposal, right, there may be a combination of sort of restoration, safety improvements, and recreational improvements that could be made all at the same time. I think it was difficult at that time to sort of clearly articulate all of those things, given that, you know, the community had just, you know, had a pretty involved conversation in the roller coaster there, right? And this kind of came right on the heels of that. And it's part of that bigger conversation in Leavenworth about tourism and locals. But we think there's merit to starting that conversation again when the time is right. But we're also not going to be in a position of sort of forcing that conversation.
Yeah, I just got a little concerned about the safety aspect, you know, like at the Dryden Dam. I mean, it's a long ways before you catch an eddy to get out of there. Mm-hmm. When I was a much younger man, I did some guiding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, below Barn Beach where Boulder Bend is, I saw a kayaker, trainee kayaker, take a really nasty swim through there. It was really pretty traumatic for him.
Yeah.
And so people who aren't really that experienced and go out and do it, and then all of a sudden they're in a big rapid, they can get pretty harrowing.
I saw Commissioner England had his hand up for a little while.
Please.
Yeah.
At one time there was a red flag caused by the Monitor Park that kind of kept Manson from getting some grants. Has that been taken care of?
Yes. Yeah, so there was a conversion there a long time ago to address the need for farm worker housing in the county. And the county actually purchased property downstream of the Monitor Park from the State Department of Transportation to offset the conversion of part of the park. So yes, that issue has been resolved.
It's also great just having a list of projects for when funding opportunities do come up, maybe unforeseen funding opportunities or new programs. It's always better to have a list of projects already in hand that you can plug right into funding. I mean, we do that with you know, restoration type projects too, and forest health. It's sometimes funding opportunities come up last minute, and if you have something that's ready to go that is already vetted, you're a lot more likely to get that funding than somebody who needs to plan the project first and, you know, get it vetted.
Yeah, and I would say if you have any particular projects in mind, parks and rec type projects, motorized or non-motorized, that you don't see in the plan, or if you feel like there's another group that we could reach out to just to make sure that we get things in. It doesn't mean if it's not in, you know, it can't be eligible for funding, but it helps if it does. And so we feel like we did a pretty decent job of getting everything in here. But if you see something in here, let us know.
One of the things I was wondering about was the visibility we might have on the goals that we've had for previous initiatives and how those are going now and what that might look like for this 2026 plan in the future. Is will there be any kind of reporting mechanism to be able to trace how this work is going?
Yeah, we typically do not do that. not that we wouldn't want to. I mean, ideally, we'd adopt a plan. We'd actually have a committee or something, you know, that would monitor and track how we're implementing thing, the plan, how we're, are we being successful with that? You know, we typically do it every 6 years. when we kind of retrospectively look at, well, what did we accomplish then, and what are the new needs now? You know, what are the current requests out there, and then we update the plan.
Do we have that kind of visibility from 2017 till now?
We might. I remember 2 years ago, just kind of brushing off the dust. We did have a table where we reviewed and kind of updated, like, okay, this one's done. Check, that one's off the list. I can go back through the files and see what, if that's captured adequately, because I do remember going through that exercise as we were. I mean, it is part of the update process, is looking at the table from the last update and, you know, taking off projects that are completed or the
might be something to consider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I noticed as I was reading through the whole 196 pages, the Malaga Community Park wasn't listed in there.
It is or is not?
It's not.
Yeah, okay. We'll take a look at that. Is both the waterfront park and the community park are both supposed to be listed in there. So we'll take a look at that, Tammy. Thanks for pointing that out.
There's also additions in Manson that the Park and Recreation is doing that I didn't see on there.
So those would be new parks, Commissioner England, or new efforts from Manson Parks?
Yes, they've bought a service station there and are making a park out of it. But there's also, and Chris can probably bring us up a little bit more what's going on, but they're from the existing swimming pool area around improving that shoreline. And so that increases the public access to Lake Chelan.
Commissioner Willoughby, I think we can reach out to Robin Pittman and get some updated information from her on those activities.
Right. Yeah, there's they're getting funding and stuff in place right now to do the what we call the dog park, which is the old swim hole, to the new swim park. They're going to redo that whole frontage there.
I just saw Robin last week, and we actually talked about some of the RCO grants coming up. So I'll Aaron and I can loop back with her and just make sure we keep things current here.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have developed access to a new water access point in Manson, but that's probably not as detailed as it could be now. And then is it the Malaga?
Yes, well, and we'll take a look at both the Malaga ones. That would be interesting if that was an oversight, because those are two of the projects that the county is actively involved in, Tammy. So thank you. That's it'd be a little embarrassing if we didn't have those in there. So we'll take a look.
Yeah, Mike?
Yes, sir.
The water access points for Manson, there's several points that actually are public access points that are kind of like micro parks. Would be one example is the end of Bennett Road. That's Manson Parks is taking care of those, and I think they've wanted to update or make those more accessible. So you might ask her about that too.
Will do. Thank you. Well, and I would say moving forward, we're probably not familiar with what the process is moving forward. I mean, today was supposed to be an introductory workshop on this. Will there be a hearing next, like a planning commission hearing, where you would deliberate on these topics? Like, and I mean, we're happy to come back and present again. We'll follow your lead on that. I mean, what I recall is that you all deliberate, take action, send your recommendation to the county commissioners, and then there's another hearing, correct?
Talking to Director Walter earlier, I got the impression that this is a working session but that perhaps the hearing would be done with all of the comp plan elements at once.
Okay.
I don't know if she's coming back.
Well, we can reach out to her.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about schedule because we're going to make some edits to mm-hmm. this plan before you see it again. And mm-hmm. so I'll just check in with her on the timing.
Okay. But I do see that we have members of the public here in this meeting. And I wonder, oh, first, Commissioner, or Jesse, why don't you go ahead and speak?
Oh, just real quick, I noticed that one of the proposed action items under the motorized deal was for ATV, UTV, a loop around Lake Wenatchee. I might stress that the loop around Lake Chelan might be just as important. And I didn't see it in there, but might be a good thing to add in as you're going through and making revisions on this.
And Jesse, you're saying adding in the Lake Chelan loop?
Yeah, some way to get around the lake from one side to the other, you know, especially if the Forest Service roads get opened up, there's going to be there's really no way to get around the lake following the WA ATV rules of 35 mile an hour roads.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
And I think, you know, I do know that in Okanagan County, they've got a couple roads that are, or loops that are approved that are on the main 60 mile an hour state highway. And you're still limited to 35. And I think Ferry County maybe, or one of the counties up there also does the same thing. And they basically have a moving speed limit, if I remember right. Where the speed limit around the UTV or ATV is 35 miles an hour and everywhere else it's the posted limit.
Great, thanks.
Just to circle back on the Malaga Community Park, that is listed under other projects identified for consideration in the previous plan. So that was in the last plan and we did get funding for that from RCO.
Twice.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, twice.
So it may be because that was already funded or, you know, had.
That's a community park or the riverfront park?
Malaga Community Park.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've gotten funding twice for the riverfront park, but we'll take a look.
We would want everything that's even in maintenance to be on this plan, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, it's comprehensive and
okay.
You've got everything in there. I mean, it's hard to get everything in there, but
of course.
This kind of effort helps a lot, right? And make improvements.
I just didn't see it in the list of parks in Chelan County.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's what we'll take a look.
Dina, we had a procedural question with regards, and I know I spoke with you about this before the meeting, but this is a working session, correct? Not a public.
Correct. So okay. But if you would want to take public comment, you're more than welcome to.
Okay.
So, but it's not considered public comment for the public hearing
yeah.
That's going to be coming.
But it'd be helpful for us to hear some comments because it sounds like because it's a workshop, you will have a hearing. We'll be able to make some edits and additions because we got some really good feedback tonight. So we'll be able to add those things in and have a revised document for your hearing. And how far out is the hearing potentially? Like what's the schedule look like?
We're looking at, we got to wrap up the Malaga UGA issue. So okay. We're proposing, I think Susan was thinking August, September, so that we could be through the entire thing by December 31st. But that's why we wanted to bring to the commission elements that were ready.
Yeah.
Just to introduce them so that they weren't a surprise and you had all your questions answered and they were addressed prior to the actual hearings.
That's great. That gives us time to make these changes. So
excellent. Well, that being the case, are there members of the public who would like to speak? If you would like to do so, I'd ask that you give your name, address, and limit your comments to 2 minutes. Okay, well, there will be another opportunity during the hearing. Thank you for attending. Mm-hmm. Are there more questions we want to ask of staff, or do we want to take some time to discuss this as a commission? Looks like a very well researched and put together plan. Not hearing any, I think we can move on.
Well, thank you guys for your time. We're happy to come back. And if you think of anything later, happy to, maybe that should go through Dina. We're happy to provide you guys more information. So just let us know.
Or Susan.
Or Susan.
We'll be back on Monday.
Yep. There you go. Great.
Thanks for your presentation.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Feedback.
We'll step out with you guys.
Yeah. That'd be great. Thanks.
And thank you for letting me attend.
Thank you for your interest. So I think the only other item on the agenda is if there's anything else we choose to speak of. We have a 2026 docket list, which is physically printed out. Is this something that can be emailed to?
Absolutely. Yes, we can email you all the docket list. It was adopted and finalized last week. And so this is the comprehensive list of what we'll be attempting to work through outside of the comprehensive plan that has to be adopted, the periodic update, by December 31st. And so you'll see that on there, but there are other items also that are needing to be addressed. So we will try not to wear the Planning Commission out, but we may come to the point in September, October, where we ask for second meetings to get through. We've also got the CIP again, that's annual.
We've already done that.
Yes, but okay. We'll have it at the end of this year again.
Okay.
And we've got quite a few comp plan amendments, individual site-specific comp plan amendments that have been proposed. So those will be coming to you in addition to the comprehensive plan elements and that whole process. So there may be, towards the end of the year, some months that we ask for special meetings. So just keep that in mind. We apologize. The comprehensive plan update only happens once every 10 years. So you're just lucky enough to serve on the planning commission that gets to review it. Did you all have any questions? And again, we will email you the finalized docket. But if you have any questions, I can try to answer those. Your regular facilitator, Susan, has been out and she will be back on Monday. So I've been trying to cover in her absence, but I'm happy to answer anything you have questions on.
Are there anything that came out of the legislature that we need to deal with?
My goodness. Yeah, we'd like a quick review. So there are 7 legislative bills that affect land use and building permits. 2 of them specifically speak to the urban growth area, so those will be handled through the city's comprehensive plans and development regulations then that we review and ultimately end up adopting for implementation within the urban growth areas. The biggest one for the county, the unincorporated areas, is the new legislation regarding ADUs. And you will remember, those of you that were on the Planning Commission, I think it was 2 years ago, we brought forth an amendment to, we edited some of the items having to do with ADU. One was the definition of what constituted an ADU. The other item, the big item, was that the ADUs were taken out of the density calculation. So literally any legal lot that already had a house on it in Chelan County, unincorporated, could have an accessory dwelling unit, every single one of them. This bill, I think it's 1345, in Gross House Bill 1345, was designed with some southern counties in the state and the west side in mind, and it was specifically for those jurisdictions that did not currently allow ADUs. We have allowed ADUs since at least 2011. What it did was it specified that ADUs, one, had to be within 150 feet of the primary residence, which we currently do not care. Now they do. They have to have metered water, which I've been discussing with Mike and the health district on how to even implement that. Because most of the areas in the county, there are some water districts, but most areas are on private wells or group A or group B water systems. It also gave a definition again on what space was not included, and we will do an internal interpretation, administrative interpretation. It didn't call out decks as being excluded, but it called out porches. So we will do an interpretation to state that decks are the same as porches, so they're not included. It'll be consistent with our current regulations. But one of the things that I'm trying to think, and I know Commissioner Smith, oh, he was on, he's not on anymore. So they have to be within 150 feet. Oh, it now counts in density. The legislation specifically stated that it counts in the density. So that kind of unwinds what we did in the past. And it also, for all intents and purposes, undermines the legislature's forward thinking on affordable housing. Because now you can have 5 acres in a RR5 zoning, and you can't have an ADU after July 1st, because it would exceed the density of one dwelling unit per 5 acres, right? Which is the whole reason 2 years ago, we took the density requirement out of the ADUs. So that's gonna hurt a little. They also put on, and the legislation for this bill was specifically for detached ADUs. So they give an opportunity for voluntary compliance, which seems like an oxymoron to me. Voluntary compliance, the threshold date is July 1st. If you do not engage in voluntary compliance by July 1st and ultimately end up with a fine for non-compliance, you are prohibited from having an ADU on your property for 3 years. It's crazy, but that's what it says. It also has a fine. Currently under our Title 16, we have $750 fines. It says a minimum of $1,000 fine, only for the detached ADUs, not for attached ADUs or any other violation, only detached ADUs. It also says that if you come in for an after the fact detached ADU, it is triple the fee. Whereas everything else in our code for after the fact fees is double. So we're gonna have to do some code amendments. I'm really hoping that we have a legislator or two that will sponsor a bill to amend that. I worked really hard with our legislative body for the county and regional planning directors. In fact, the planning director from Stevens County and I were adamantly opposed to this legislation because it did not exempt the counties that already had provisions in place and actually is now way more restrictive than what we have. So that's the big legislative bill that is, it's baffling to see these bills come through and in the same breath have the legislature, the same ones that are increasing the energy credits and requiring the cost of construction to skyrocket, and then say, well, you need to have more affordable housing. And then we get bills like this that totally eliminate affordable housing.
Well, the water metering component would be particularly problematic and expensive,
yes,
to administer. And those are additional costs, even if we were to do it. And I mean, my personal opinion, I hope we don't need to do that. We would have to pass those costs on to people. And that can include one-time setup fees. It can include annual fees. I mean, there's a whole fee schedule that would have to be put in place, because people would presumably have to report that they are actually metering. They have to show some evidence that they're metering, although I think the legislation is vague on that. But there could be all kinds of problems. And it could be in conflict with how we already manage water in the rural areas, in the different watersheds. So there's all kinds of questions.
Yeah.
That I have right
so
now.
Outside of the watersheds now that require, what are the water?
The water resource inventory areas.
The fee.
Oh, the mitigation
the
fee.
The mitigation. So
yeah.
So we have areas,
yes,
that require, right, mitigation fees. And outside of those areas, you still have the restriction on exempt wells for 5,000 gallons a day, not to exceed 1/2 acre of irrigated area. Those always were intended by Department of Ecology to be metered. Nobody's ever done it, nobody's ever checked on it, and nobody's ever asked for the information, including Department of Ecology. So I don't know how they're going to manage this. As far as the county is concerned, when we get a building permit in, all we're going to ask for is sign off from the health district, and the health district that now monitors all exempt wells, and they keep all the records for them. It's been turned over from Department of Ecology. The health district is going to have to figure out how to manage this also. But yes, it was a disturbing piece of legislation. We were really hoping that it wouldn't pass, or at least it would have some exemptions in there, and it did not. So now we have to figure out how to administer that.
You had a question here online.
A question from Nick. Yes.
Yeah, you kind of touched on it, but I was just wanting some explanation on that water metering and how it deals with people on wells. So.
Yeah, the metering, I think it's referring to, and it is vague in there, but I think it's referring to either the exempt wells and how to manage the 5,000 gallons a day. Although if you look at a Group B system, you could potentially get up to 14 lots or 14 homes on a Group B well. So I'm not sure exactly what the intent of metering is outside of being in a watershed with restrictions.
Yeah.
Would they allow, like, if it's detached but still connected to the main house's water, is that considered metered, or does it have to be metered separately?
So you know what's interesting about this legislation? It doesn't call out that the ADU be metered. It says the parcel with the ADU shall be metered.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and here again, it may just be that the legislative aides or whoever drafted this bill has never worked a boots on the ground and doesn't really know what that means.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I know that the Drinking Water Department of Health requires that in water districts that an ADU have a separate meter and hookup.
Yeah. Well, and that's in a water district. That makes sense, because that's how the water charges are calculated, is how much water. There's usually a basic water fee and then a usage fee. But when you're on an exempt well, you're bound solely by your 5,000 gallon withdrawal. So it would be unlikely that an ADU and a home would ever exceed that. But
yeah, you would theoretically have to install a meter in an existing well, change up the system, right, so they can incorporate that meter. And then they would presumably have to prove that they're doing it. I don't even know what we would do with the information related to that. And so then I don't know how you would meter, if the intent is to meter separately, say the primary residence and then the ADU. I don't know.
They can draw 5,000 gallons a day or a month.
5,000 gallons per day per household.
Per household.
I mean, we've
water.
Well, per exempt withdrawal.
Yeah.
Which would be the household and the ADU if you were using the same.
That's a lot of water.
Typically, a house, like we've done estimates in all the different watersheds, and they're generally speaking using about 360 to 380 gallons per day per household.
Yeah.
Not 5,000 gallons per day.
And there is no reporting requirement in the legislation for the metering. It just says it shall be metered. The only reporting requirement is for our department to report annually to the Department of Commerce how many detached ADUs we permitted. No problem. That was the easiest part of the legislation to implement. We just put in a checkbox.
So what about attached ADUs? Are they addressed?
No, they're not. Which is even stranger because detached ADUs count towards density, but attached ADUs still don't under our regulations. And if you had an after the fact permit, you would only be charged double for an attached ADU. And if you got a fine, it wouldn't be $1,000, it would be $750. And even if you got a fine, if it's an attached ADU, you wouldn't be prohibited for 3 years. It's bizarre legislation. I struggled to get through it and figure out what they were thinking. But the other ones weren't, so there's two specifically to ADUs. One for this, there's a follow-up to the permitting bill. But I haven't seen the final copy of it since it's been signed by the governor. But I can give you a rundown and highlights of those at the next meeting if you'd like. We did try to get out a press release on the ADU bill because that one, the implementation date's July 1. It's coming fast.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Nobody likes surprises.
Well, it sounds like it could be an expensive surprise for some people.
Yeah, but also, I forgot to mention that in the legislation, if you apply for an ADU or an after-the-fact permit after July 1st, you have to bring that ADU up to current standards, which means you are going to have to potentially open walls and prove that you can meet the new energy code. Right now, we don't require that. But it was specifically said the current regulations. So July 1st, that's why we put out a big press release and we're getting lots of calls, which is great. People are paying attention. Come in, get your application in and we'll get you through so that you don't have to open up walls and potentially, you know, increase the quality of your windows or anything like that to get the energy credits. Any other questions?
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Hey, Dina, quick question. How does this work, or is this any conflict with the legislation that was passed with the ADUs for inside municipal areas, allowing the two, or is this purely for non-incorporated, non-municipal areas?
Right. It's only for unincorporated areas outside of urban growth areas.
Okay. So they said, put all your ADUs inside and nobody else gets anything.
Pretty much. Yeah. But we will have to do some code amendments. So you'll see those coming through this year too on the two bills regarding urban growth areas, because remember the county does have two standalone urban growth areas. So we will have to address the density. And I believe it's up to fourplexes in any residential zoning in an urban growth area also, including some parking standards. But you'll see those come through. So I'm less worried about those right now than I am this unincorporated ADU bill.
This is a big problem.
it is. Yeah, it's going to be problematic.
It's not definitely not uncommon for the state to put in legislation and have no way to enforce it
Right.
or no guidelines to enforce it. But this is definitely contrary to the counties and the state's desire for affordable anything, for sure.
Right.
It
Right.
just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And I understand that they were trying to force counties that didn't allow ADUs to finally allow them, but it really strangled, for lack of a better word, it strangled the jurisdictions that already allowed them.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Requiring them to be now within 150 feet of the primary residence, and they have to use the same driveway.
Yeah, that part makes no sense.
So,
Are ADUs under a certain amount of square footage?
yes, currently they're 1,200 square feet or under.
Okay.
The legislation says 1,296. And so I talked to the commissioners about it, and they may want to increase it. But the reality of it is, the 1,296 was based on a, I believe, 24 by 54, which is a standard size manufactured home. But most of the ADUs that we're getting applications for are not manufactured homes, they're custom built. And so 1,296 is going to pose exactly the same problem that we have at 1,200. Somebody's going to want a 1,300 or a 1,205, right? So, that's not going to solve the problem.
Yeah, this whole legislation solves absolutely no problems.
It creates more problems, and I've tried to be as vocal as I could with our legislative liaison and WASAC about the problems this is going to create. But we're only a couple rural counties that were already, from the sounds of it, way ahead other counties for housing opportunities, and it's
Is
unfortunate.
there any movement to get to oppose this, Dina, on the state level?
No, it's been signed by the governor. Yeah. So the best we can hope for now is, again, to have some legislator or a couple of them go back in next year during legislative session and amend this. Oh, it also says that, and I don't even know how you would calculate this. I kind of didn't pay attention to this element of it because I don't plan on, I'm going to be retired in 10 years when we have to do the comp plan again. But it says that the next comp plan update, you have to account for the ADUs, and they can equal no more than 10% of the available low income housing allocation. Housing allocation, which was really hard to interpret because we don't do our allocations for the comp plan by housing units. We do it by population. So I don't know how they would even convert that.
So that wouldn't be included in this comp plan.
It's not going to be included in this comp plan.
Okay.
We do not have the time or the resources to unravel that. We would have to do a deep dive into the assessor's records because the ADUs aren't all entered as a separate single family dwelling identified as an ADU. Sometimes it's a garage with an improvement, an apartment in the back. So the primary use would be a garage with a 165% improvement. So it would be really tough to identify all of them. Somebody much smarter than I at filtering through data is going to have to do that in the next 10 years.
We know you like spreadsheets. Get after it.
I I'm a little burned out on them right now. So that was a long, long explanation on one very disturbing bill. The rest of them are, we'll figure out how to implement them. We like the bills that don't impact us at all a lot better, but this was a tough session. Any other questions?
Let's adjourn.
Okay.